Alina Naylor on BBC Radio Derby.
It is me, yeah, it's what the man said. And he said my name right. Even some of my closest friends and family don't manage that. Good afternoon. Do you need a new telly? There's always new technology coming in, isn't there? Things move on. So what's a sound investment? And is the future really three-dimensional? Come on, I've only just got my head around what HD is, for crying out loud, and I'm still not sure I'm fully receiving it. Can you notice any difference? Oh, I went and got a telly about 14, 15 months ago. Oh, wait till the January sales, obviously. Oh, stupid. Or do you want something, or 1080, if you want full 1080, and blah, 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 and dooby-dooby-doo, and then you've got to have a HD receiver, and me. Well, look, we're talking telly and the future of them with a man who knows all about that technological stuff. And he's with me very shortly indeed. We're also going to talk about third generation mobile phones too. Your love. Maroon 5 and This Love on BBC Radio Derby. You will fall into one of two categories. You'll be hanging off every word that my next guest says, nodding sagely about his take on things and the developments in the technological world. Or you'll be hanging off every word thinking, I really need to listen to what this fella's saying because, well, it just leaves me cold. I don't get this technology stuff. There seems to have been a revival in recent months of what was an 80s phenomenon in my memory of 3D. It's hit the cinema screens, big investment in 3D projectors, and we did a piece actually about the third rise of 3D, because there was some in the sort of 40s and 50s. We came through late 70s, early 80s, but now we think it's here to stay because the big companies, the big movie houses and the big directors are investing in this technology and making movies in this technology. So what happens in the cinema tends to follow through into television. Is it going to take effect on the way we watch television? We are seeing the launch of 3D TV channels, 3D Blu-ray players and actual 3D TVs. So much new technology, but is investing in what is bound to be very expensive new technology going to be worth it? Let's find out more. Joining me from the Dark Technology Club, who are, if you've heard them on before, members of the club, they meet in Aston-on-Trent. Paul Mellor is in the studio with me. Paul, lovely to have you with us.
Great to be here.
I have to say, I've only just started to get my head around HD television, and then you come at me with something else. Is this real? Can 3D telly happen at home, and will we have to sit there in our glasses?
Yes, on both counts.
Oh my word, you've got to wear the specs.
Absolutely. I do remember back when HD first came along and I thought, it can't get better. Mm. It really is fantastic. And then, the latest thing, 3D TV, I've seen some demos and they are mind-blowing.
Really?
Really, really, really good.
How do they do it? What's happening? Do they look like normal tellies?
Yes, from the outside they look like normal tellies, and apparently the electronics in them is not a lot different from a normal HD, what's today a very current HD TV.
Yeah.
But the clever bit, of course, is the way that they fool your eyes into thinking that they're 3D, and there's various technologies that can be used to do that.
Oh.
The one that's actually hitting the streets, I'll jump straight to the end, is using glasses,
mm-hmm.
and the glasses actually synchronize with the TV. So if you imagine why we see 3D, let's start from the fact that we've got two eyes,
mm-hmm.
and they see the world from slightly different angles. And the brain's clever enough to look at those two different views and be able to interpret that to give depth. And that's what's 3D.
Okay.
So the challenge with 3D cinema and 3D telly is, how do you send different signals to each eye?
Okay,
which is the same view but from a slightly different angle. So you put those together and you basically fool your brain into thinking this is like real life and it's got depth to it. So there's various ways that you can do that. You mentioned the early efforts at 3D. In fact, the first 3D film was produced in 1922.
Oh my lord, that's far back.
Yeah, absolutely, and that was using colour gels, which right. is probably
and
what
so
we remember
holographic
from
holographic technology, because holograms were huge then, weren't
absolutely
they? As well?
Absolutely,
yeah.
And you know, using the different colour gels was the way that the different light was filtered for each eye.
Right.
And that gave you the depth. Trouble is, that hurt your eyes over time. You got headaches. It was very hard to watch. The 3D that we see in cinemas now, again, as you know, you wear glasses. That relies on polarized light. So that's light that's all running in one direction, put it that way. And so you can send signals, so light signals, so that they go they're into one eye or the other eye, depending on the way the light's polarized.
Wow.
So that's, and the glasses are just very cheap, very simple.
Yeah.
But the technology behind it is quite complicated in terms of projecting it.
Okay.
So what they've done with the TVs is say, what we'll actually do is send the, use glasses which effectively flick on and off each alternate eyes, so that you can see and not see and see and not see with alternate frames on the television.
Right.
So, as I'm sure many people know, a television refreshes its picture many, many times a second, 50 yeah. times, 60 times a second. And the later ones are up to 100 times a second or more. And the way that these glasses work is they look at every other frame.
Oh, my goodness.
So the first goes into your left eye, the second goes into your right eye, the third goes into your left eye, the right goes into your right eye.
And it creates this illusion.
And that creates the illusion of depth.
Now then, I've got a question for you from Tony in Hena, and I think this is really pertinent at this point. Yeah. He says, what about people with bad eyesight, i.e. he only has good sight in one eye? Say if you were blind in one eye, or you're not ever going to be able to use this technology.
Unfortunately not. I think it's getting as close as I can perceive, at least, to real life. So if you have difficulty sensing depth, or seeing in 3D in real life, then it certainly won't be any better through these TVs.
Tony, save your money for the moment. Well, we're all asking that question, actually. What an incredible advance, though. And for me, the cinema, I've been up to, I think the only one we've got in the area, the 3D projectors, which are at the Cinema Deluxe in Westfield. And when they opened, you know, as members of the press, we went and had a tour around. And the projectors look so different and such advanced technology. And I know it was a big, big investment. So how does that all that technology get shrunk down and translated into a telly? Is it more the receiving device for the 3D?
It's a combination of a small amount of electronics in the telly, which, as I've described, alternates the picture. And the clever stuff is in the glasses.
Right.
So cinema, they're very simple polarizing glasses. On the telly, they're actually battery powered, and they actually communicate with the TV over Bluetooth, if you're familiar.
Wait. Okay, so I got sent a link by a friend the other day, and I was blown away, thinking that's not real. It looked like two windows side by side, and as you looked out the window, it was a very well known view of the is it the Golden Gate Bridge at San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And as you walked up to the windows and looked down and looked round, the view in three dimensions moved through these windows. And actually, it wasn't, if you like, the picture was, the image wasn't there. It was a projected image. And the person wearing this little box had this projected imagery. And you could change the scene. And that's what they did. They had this technology. I mean, it was cutting-edge stuff. But I presume that three-dimensional thing of creating this view beyond a window that didn't actually exist, it was just a blank wall, and you could... It was just stunning. There was an underwater scene, you know, it was just insane. But technology seems to be moving on so quickly.
There's no doubt that you're becoming more and more immersed in what it is that you're looking at than ever before. And, you know, as I say, what I've seen of 3D TVs, it is, in my opinion, it's better than cinema. It really is stunning.
Oh, don't say lots of things like that.
But
we know it's going to cost us. Yeah, look, we're going to break for some music. We're going to return to chat to Paul a little bit more in a couple of seconds' time. I also want to have a chat with him about the iPad, which, if you are aware, is one of these latest developments from Apple, who tend to lead the way in a lot of groundbreaking technology for us as consumers, if you like, the normal man and woman on the street, and whether it's, well, whether it's worth it, because they do say it's sort of a a portable, if you like, laptop, but surely laptops are meant to be portable. Is it the step between the iPhone and carrying a laptop round with you? We'll be chatting more about that as well. And also, yeah, we'll talk price as an investment in a HD telly. No, not HD, 3D telly. Back with Paul in a sec then. First, the Commodores. This is Night Shift. Any thoughts? Any opinions? You know you can get in contact. 01332 616161. We'll have the weather forecast in just a minute. Anna Church joining us about 4 or 5 minutes' time on the programme. With me in the studio, though, is Paul. Paul is joining us from the Dark Technology. Isn't it weird? You become a member of an organisation, that's it. That's what you're labelled as for radio purposes. You know, you have a life beyond the Dark Technology Club, but that's what we're pestering you for today. Talking about 3D television, and you went along, we're saying you've seen it in where did you see this?
The best demonstration I saw was at the Gadget Show at the NEC in Birmingham a few weeks ago, and all the big manufacturers were there, all showing off the technology, and they all had their theatres with the super duper sound, big screens.
And were they handing out the glasses to people?
For a very short time while you watch their 3 or 5 minute demonstration, but it's very impressive.
Okay,
we've
done the kid in the sweet shop thing. We're all excited about it. We understand a little bit, thanks to you explaining it in layman's terms, how it works. But now let's talk about the reality of bringing this technology into our homes. It's going to cost a small fortune, isn't it, at the moment? Can you actually go out and buy a 3D TV at the moment?
Yes, just.
Oh.
Samsung are, as far as I'm aware, the first people to get the TVs to market, and that's just available. They put a couple of models on the market. They are priced about, are you ready?
Yeah.
About £1,200.
I'm amazed. I was thinking £3,000, £4,000, £5,000.
As I was thinking, you know, it's expensive, but it's not that much more expensive than a top-of-the-range big
40
current
inch, yeah,
flat-screen TV. So, you know, that, I think, reflects the fact that the technology is not actually massively different in the TV. So that's the sort of range of price they seem to be. You know, they get bigger, they become more expensive and such like.
I was thinking remortgaging time.
Fortunately, not. Obviously, you can pay that much for bigger ones. And all the other manufacturers, your Sonys, your Panasonics, LG, all the other
they're
all on it. They'll all be introducing sets through this year.
So it's not just the set, though. It's the way you receive it.
It is. The glasses are something that you mustn't forget about. Basically, they're essential to looking at 3D, as we've already described. And typically, you, as far as I can tell, you will tend to get one, maybe two pairs with the TV.
That doesn't seem a lot.
Then there's the sting in the tail if you need more, because, again, as far as I can tell, they're between £100 and £150 per pair. For any more that you want to get.
So a family of four who want to sit down and watch a 3D film together on the television, or as you would want to, invite your mates over, come and look at this, first piece person in the village to get a 3D telly, you're just handing the glasses around and sharing them unless you invest seriously.
And you just need to add another £250, £300
Paul,
on top
I'm
of the
hopeless.
Price.
My normal glasses I sit on with alarming regularity and break. You don't want to get them down the back of the sofa at that price,
indeed
do
not.
You?
Absolutely not.
Ouch.
Mm.
Ouch.
So, you know, that's the big extra expense. The actual players, I know that the broadcasters are starting to talk about broadcasting in 3D.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that anything's on stream yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sky is one of the first ones.
Sky is one of the ones I've heard.
There or thereabouts.
Talking, yeah.
I'm sure the other channels will follow. And then the other option is your Blu-ray player.
Right.
And again, I think there's a little bit of doubt whether an existing Blu-ray player will work,
right?
Or whether it might need a bit of an upgrade, or you have to buy a dedicated machine. Just check that out when you're starting to think about this, if that's what you want to go.
And we don't know yet whether those glasses, if you buy one to go with your Samsung system, will then work if you go around your mates who's got a Sony.
That's right. Again, something to be very interested in and ask about if you are seriously considering investing in this. It's a very new technology. These things will evolve, I'm sure.
So are you sitting back and waiting for a bit?
Yeah, my wife's not listening, so
okay, right,
I can say,
well, yeah.
No, we are. I think we've just got to see how it goes. I mean, we mustn't forget about what comes after as well, of course, because
Smelly-visioned?
The glasses are the big hindrance, aren't they? They're the thing that you don't like wearing, and you look a bit strange if you're sitting in your lounge with them on. So, you know, we should start thinking about what does it take to make TVs 3D without glasses. And that's a new technology that's
sure there's men and women in white coats not too far away working on that right now.
It's called lenticular 3D.
Ooh.
And there's demo machines around. The big problem is they tend to be very you have to sit in a very particular place for it to work. So it's not very good for a room. They're saying about 5 years before that'll hit the streets.
Oh, my word. Hey, look, one of the things I also wanted to talk to you about was this iPad. Just explain what it is, because it's not some sort of sanitary protection.
Absolutely not. Although, you could try, I suppose. Anyway, the iPad, it's the latest machine, the latest gadget from Apple. If you're familiar with the iPod Touch or the iPhone, think of the same thing, but about six or seven times bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about the size of a medium-sized hardback book, but about half an inch thick, all screen.
What's the point? It seems somewhere then, why not just go to a laptop?
Good question. There's an awful lot of debate about where this will sit in the market. As with everything Apple, it is extremely attractive. It's gorgeous to look at. I played with one at the Gadget Show. And just to hold, just to be with, it's fantastic. You can use many of the programs, the apps that you can use on your iPhone. Uh-huh. There's about 5,000 of them available today. And it's the screen is fantastic. The screen's bright for looking at photographs.
Right.
It's the best.
So it might be quite good if you're in the back of a car and you wanted to watch a DVD, maybe. Or
yeah,
I think the measure, and as you've said, with the 3D technology, are there other companies that are looking at doing their own? Because you know, let's face it, the iPhone was pretty revolutionary, but now you go into a mobile phone store, and every other mobile phone manufacturer has come up on some very high ranking and some very very impressive phones.
Mm.
Are those other companies creating their version of this pad? Yeah,
absolutely. Historically, the big competitor, Apple, has always been the PC, you know, Windows, Microsoft, and the PC manufacturers, and they're already on the same journey. There are similar looking screens that are on the way from, I think Hewlett Packard is the one that I'm familiar with, that Microsoft have teamed up with. Very similar in concept. I've yet to really see the detail specs and do a back-to-back comparison, but don't forget, Apple is just gorgeous. So you want it because it's Apple and it's shiny.
Yeah, we're all seduced, aren't we, by the packaging? So very, very easily.
Absolutely.
Hey, look, we're going to break for a second and just catch up with Anna, who's got the weather detail for us. Anna, lovely to have you with us this lunchtime. I have to say, the day turning out a little bit better than I expected, but you'd be fairly brave to put washing out on the line, particularly if you're in the Peak District.
Yeah, definitely. The Peak District are expecting some light rain and drizzle. In fact, we all are, but more so across the Derbyshire Peaks this afternoon. For most of us, though, it's a really cloudy afternoon. We've got light, very winds, and the temperature's disappointing. We're just seeing a high of 14 degrees, which is 57 degrees Fahrenheit, so a good couple of degrees below what we should expect at this time of the year. And nothing changes really overnight. We stay with this cloudy picture. We've got some rain and drizzle seeping into the west during the night, so some more of that expected. And also mist and fog because of the moisture and the light winds. We can see that forming in the early hours of tomorrow morning. Then the mist and fog will lift quickly tomorrow morning, but again, a cloudy day with further rain possible at times. And really another chilly day as well. Temperatures just reaching a high of 13 degrees tomorrow, so even cooler. And I'm afraid temperatures just get colder as we head through to the weekend, so a cold couple of days ahead of us.
Get the thermals out. Thank you for now, Anna. And of course, we'll keep you updated on the website, bbc.co.uk/Derby. Let's just round things off then with Paul joining us. A couple of Viv advertisers, they'll have to embrace 3D TV. Will you be able to watch a chocolate sponge with the sauce oozing out without having to be tied to the chair? He says, I have to say, again, advertising, cinema, these are the big influences on television, aren't they? And that's where the investment's probably going to come from.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about finding where the money comes from and who's prepared to invest.
I'm just imagining Felix the cat coming out and being able to be stroked.
It's
going to be an interesting movement. we were talking about the iPad. Have we got it in the UK yet?
Right, not quite yet. The sales of the iPad in America have gone through the roof.
Oh.
They've just passed the 1 million sales in the US, and they actually achieved that in 28 days. Compare that to the iPhone, which you all think of as, you know, one of the fastest selling consumer items around. That took 74 days to sell a million.
Good
so,
Lord.
Yeah, it's really flying off the shelves. And a consequence of that was that Apple decided to delay the international launch of the iPad by a month.
Right.
So it will be arriving on our shores later this month.
Mm-hmm.
We can pre-order from the 10th of May. And
when
so
you say
anything,
we...
We,
are you?
You and I. I'll have to check whether my wife's listening.
Okay.
No, I probably won't be straight off the bat, but it's very, very tempting, I must admit. So, very successful launch, hitting the streets later on, and as far as getting to grips with the machine, it's a good opportunity to promote the Dark Technology Club. We are in June having one of the Apple resellers in Derby coming to visit us with a handful of iPads to demonstrate what it can do and talk about some of the other Apple products. So if you're interested and maybe tempted, please, please come along and find out more about it. And that's on Monday, the 14th of June.
These are open meetings, aren't they?
They're open meetings, small entrance fee.
But people welcome to come along.
Absolutely, the more the merrier.
Look, Dark, if you look for them on the internet, it's D-A-R-C, the Dark Technology Club. I have to say thank you for shedding some light on the subjects that we've covered today, Paul. Thank you very much indeed. 14th of June, if you're looking for the diary. What we ought to do now, though, is check on the very latest travel details across Derbyshire and East Staffordshire.